We're going to continue our new series that we started last week titled Supernatural. Say super. Say natural. See, and that's just it. When we think supernatural, how many of you think Superman, Batman? We live in a society really that is just fascinated with the supernatural. The problem is when we think supernatural, maybe not you and I so much, but the world and much of the church really thinks of things that we see on TV and really in movies. Whether it's the Twilight sagas or things like that. It just amazes me, since Twilight was such a hit, everywhere you turn, there's a TV series or a new movie that is really just about the same thing with a couple different vampires and a couple different werewolves. But you know, because werewolves and vampires, they love and have lives too, just like regular people. But when people think of supernatural, that's what we think of, because really, the devil, listen carefully, he's done his job very well. He has convinced much of the church that he's for real. Now, people wouldn't say that. But much of the church and the world thinks the devil's real. They wouldn't admit it, but there's the reason we're fascinated with the supernatural and the occult, if you will, is because we really believe that exists. But you know what? We are living in a time where we believe less and less that God exists. And you know, that's troublesome. That's troublesome. Now, how many know the devil does exist, all right? But Jesus said that he's been put under our feet. Come on, somebody. And so the thing is, and we'll talk more about that this morning, but the thing I need us to realize is in the society we live in, there are people looking for the supernatural. And I say it's time for the church to rise up and be that supernatural force that we're supposed to be. The Bible says this. It says the glory of this latter house will be more glorious than the former house. In Joel, it says that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. So listen, when people think, well, you know, signs and wonders and supernatural. By the way, supernatural should be natural for the body of Christ. It's not for most people, but it should be. But when you look at the book of Acts, the way the Bible prophesies about the end days, and I believe we're living in those days. Really, we are. We are. Pray for the United States of America. Pray for Israel. And we do many of our services, and today we didn't, but we continue every week. We pray as a staff, prayer partners. We're praying over this country. Pray over this country. But we're living in a time where the church has got to rise up, because God's intention is that signs and wonders that you see in the book of Acts should be really just nothing compared to what we should be doing. I mean, really, that is the truth. Now, you see things happening all around the world. I mean, even to the extent of people being raised from the dead. Now, there may be some of you here that have seen that, witnessed that. I've seen some pretty miraculous things. I have not seen that yet, but I believe it happens. I read stories. It happens. You're not going to hear about that on the news because they don't want you to know. I'm telling you, if you know people, especially people who are living abroad that are missionaries in third world countries and other places, you hear about this regularly. Really, you do. And so you and I should be living a supernatural life. The problem is we are so focused on our natural life that we forget the supernatural. Now, we just finished a 21-day fast here at the beginning of the year. And really, God is teaching us that we need to deny our flesh. If we're going to live in the supernatural, we have got to learn to not live according to our natural, or the Bible calls, carnal nature. Now, some people, when they hear carnal, they think, oh, well, I don't deal with pornography. They think, you know, the worst of the worst of the worst. They think of murder or whatever. And that is bad, by the way, okay? That is no good, and that is carnal. But do you understand your carnal nature is just your natural man? When you see that in the Bible, it's talking about your natural man, really the natural man that really thinks and reasons according to our six senses, I mean, okay? And so you and I have got to realize that God wants us to walk according to his Spirit. Because listen to what it says, Mark 16. He says, and these signs, I said six senses, five senses, and this is our sixth sense. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they what? Will recover. This is just natural and normal. Jesus just said these things will, signs will follow those who believe. Not for the elite. It's not for just those who go and become missionaries. It's not just for those who are in the fivefold ministry. This is for every believer in Christ. And until the church gets that, we're not going to see what God has for us. We won't. We think, well, it's somebody else. Listen, it is my responsibility. It is your responsibility to believe God for signs and wonders and supernatural. And we'll be doing more and more with this. We're really just doing some just some planning and prayer right now and preparation, really to raise up teams to go out and to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked a little bit about that. Haven't gone into great detail because we've been waiting for God to raise a group of people up, and we think we have that group of people to start to really get some ideas on how God can really start to impart the supernatural ministry, not just once in a while, but we can go out and really make a difference here in our community. Jesus said in John 18:36, His kingdom is not of this world. So you and I should not expect to see His kingdom in this world, but it is coming. We are called to live supernatural lives. Jesus said we do greater works than Him. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, just a couple of foundational scriptures that we really talked a lot about last week. You and I have got to realize that the supernatural is more important than the natural, because the supernatural, the spirit realm, is what created everything that you and I know. We must realize that God always has the best in mind for us, and that He's working in us to accomplish His will and release the kingdom of heaven through our lives. We've got to believe that. And so this morning, we're going to start to a little bit get into really what we should be thinking, if you want to call them core values, whatever you want to call them. It's the way we should be thinking if we're going to experience the supernatural. We need to live our lives from really a different set of rules, I believe. We looked at last week how the Bible tells us that we've been redeemed from the aimless conduct or aimless thinking that has been passed on to us from our forefathers. See, we've been redeemed from carnal thinking. We have been redeemed from thinking less than supernatural. And so if you want to hear that message, you can get online from last week and bring you up to date. But I want to share this scripture with you this morning. Philippians 3:20. This is a reality for you and I. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So, and here's part of the problem is we live in flesh. I was just talking with somebody yesterday. I said, you know, that's our biggest challenge. That's our biggest challenge, Larry, is us. It's our flesh and blood. It really is. Because we get up and we're, you know, sometimes you're tired because you didn't get enough sleep. Sometimes you don't feel good, might have a headache. Sometimes you're just kind of like, I can't work any longer. I can't. How many ever feel that way? And, you know, and sometimes you're, the rest of you, please pray for us because some of us feel that way sometimes. But we live with this natural man, and we're so accustomed to it. But the truth is, we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven, and Jesus is coming to redeem this body. Now, that's not something where we say, well, you know, when Jesus comes, then we get to live in the sweet by and by, and when we get to heaven, everything's going to be fine. No, but it is a hope to know that He is going to restore this natural body. And so now we walk by faith and not by sight, and we live in a way that really we are using the Word of God to walk in the supernatural and to live by faith and not by sight. In fact, I said this a little bit on Wednesday. A friend of mine just wrote a book, Lee Cummings. He pastors one of our churches down in the Kalamazoo area. And he titled this book, Be Radiant. Great book. I recommend it highly. But he talks about how you and I really are time travelers. We're, in a sense, that we are actually predicting what the future is going to hold. And so what we're doing is we are proclaiming the works that are going to come when Jesus redeems our body. Doesn't mean we can't have them now, but we are saying, look, you and I are walking by faith now for something that is coming. Again, listen what it says, Hebrews 6:5, and we have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. See, part of our problem is, you say, well, I lay hands on a sick and he recover, and people think, really? Because it just doesn't make sense to our natural mind, all right? It's kind of like, and this is why, like, Lee uses this example of time travelers. How many remember the movie, Back to the Future? Some of you here Wednesday, I talked a little bit about this, but Marty McFly. I love great movie. By the way, you can't travel in time. Let me just say that. You can't do it. Now, God can. God is omnipresent. Time doesn't bother Him at all. All right? You say that's why God says you need to work on patience because He don't need it. All right? Okay. He's very patient, very kind, very loving. And so, but anyway, there's that scene where, remember, he's trying to get his mom and dad to hook up. How many know when you got to make sure you get born, that's a problem, okay? And so he goes back to the future. He comes from the future back to before he was born and wants to get his parents hooked up who have no interest in each other. And he's like, I got to save my life before it starts, all right? And so he's at this dance, and he breaks out this guitar. I mean, if you've seen the movie, and he starts to play. He says, "I'm going to play a song that all of you don't know now, but you're going to know." And he starts to play this rock and roll. And they're all like, they're watching him play on that guitar. And at first, they're like, "What's going on?" Before you know it, they all start dancing. How many know what I'm talking about? See, because when you first start to talk this way, people are like, "What?" But when you start to live this way and start to believe this way, before you know it, everybody is at your party. Hello, somebody. That is really what I believe when Lee says time travelers from the future. I just, in my spirit, I went, yes, that is so right on. Because we are to declare the powers of the ages to come. Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, we are ambassadors, if you will, of the future. God has prepared beforehand that you and I should walk in it. He has already made it available for you and I. How many know that God knows what you're going to go out and do today? He does. Better than you. So, he does. And so he has already preordained or predestined for you to walk in his good works. But you got to believe like Jesus told us in John 14, greater works, John 14:23, greater works you'll do than me because I go to the Father. You've got to believe that. And I'll tell you, if that doesn't get you fired up, nothing will. Okay? If you don't get fired up by thinking that God wants to live through you supernaturally, then I don't even know why you go to church. This kind of teaching is all I've ever known. I've been a Christian now for 23 years. I didn't get saved until I was 31 years old. Those of you who come here on a regular basis, you've heard my testimony, so I'm not going to get into that this morning. But I did not get saved till I was 31 years old. And so this is it's the only kind of preaching I've ever known. I mean, I've been to a couple other churches that don't preach this. That's probably why I didn't get saved till I was 31. I'm just saying, all right? Just saying, all right? But you know, your life can be different. Your life can look different. Your life can have completely different results. But the problem is most of the church looks just like the world. And really the problem is our flesh, and that's why we have to deny our flesh. It's like we prayed during worship. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. We live by faith that when I walk out, I'm going to pray for people and they're going to be healed. The problem is sometimes you pray and they don't get healed, but that should not stop you. It doesn't change the word of God. And you keep doing it and keep doing it. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get results. Say, so how do you know? Because I do. And many of you do. But you got to believe these things. You got to live that way. As a matter of fact, the whole of creation is really waiting for us, the sons of God, to reveal themselves because the fall of man has subjected it really to something that is less than what God has for us. Now, in my notes, I have the King James Version, but I'm going to give you a little warning here, Aaron. I want to read Romans 8:19, but I'm going to read it out of a different translation than what I put in my notes, because I think it's a little bit better. Romans 8:19. I'm going to read out of the New Living Testament, if we've got that. Romans 8:19. We're going to read quite a portion of scriptures here. Romans 8:19 through 25 in the New Living Testament. Romans 8, verse 19. It says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day." Remember, future, time travelers, all right. "When God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay." Okay, this body wears out, but we don't have to live that way because there's a time coming. There is a day coming, and God wants us to live as if that day is today, as messengers of the future. Verse 22, "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan." I may ever just say, "Lord, come and take me now." It's like, "Oh, Lord, give me that 30-year-old body." You know, they say, "How do you know?" I don't know that it's 30, but I figured Jesus left this world around 30, 32, 33, so that must be the perfect time. So many people say, "Well, when you know, you younger people, you think, oh boy, 30, that's old." No, those of us who are beyond that, it's like we wish we could have 30 again. And the people said, "Amen." I mean, you know, 30 is good, all right? But it says here, believers groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. I want to stop there for just a second. And so, see, even though our body is not being redeemed, you and I have the Holy Spirit as a foretaste. of something that is to come, of the future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. How many know God will do this? We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and what? Confidently. And so it's saying here that we have the Holy Spirit, which is showing us the future. Let me give you one more scripture that helps support this thought. Ephesians 1:14. It says, the Holy Spirit of promise is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. It's like a down payment, if you will. Holy Spirit has been given to us as if we already own the house, mortgage paid in full. Come on. Something that we're pointing to the future, that when our bodies are redeemed, we're going to be completely redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. But now by faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, see, this makes so much sense because Jesus said, it's better that I go away, because if I don't go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he said, Jay? And so that's it, because the Holy Spirit now. But do you see why the devil really has got so many people, they don't even want to talk about Holy Spirit. Don't even want to talk about it. I've talked to so many people. They say, well, I used to go to this church and that church, and they used to talk about the Holy Spirit. I used to pray in other tongues. Yeah, I said it. I know that scares everybody when you talk like that. But listen, it's natural. It's just normal. Now, we've seen it modeled in very weird ways, and so people think all churches who pray in tongues are weird. That's not true, because we do, and we're normal people here. Real people, real life, real God. It's something that is supernatural that God expects us to do. And we're going to talk more through this series. We're probably going to go for a month, 6 weeks on this series. And we'll be praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're interested in that, every one of our prayer partners. Now, this morning we didn't invite you up during worship, but after the close of service, we'll have altar people here to pray. You say, I want to pray for the Holy Spirit. They'll pray for you. All right? And we'll teach on that, and we'll talk about it. We've got information out at the table that talks about it. And see, the gifts of the Spirit are very natural for the supernatural lifestyle. Matter of fact, if you want to live this way, you have to have them. And so many people don't even want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're kind of like, we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that's the extent of it. We say God is three parts, but we never talk about Holy Spirit. All right? And the Holy Spirit is not your conscience. We have a conscience. All right? The Holy Spirit is bearing witness things of our with our conscience, but there's two separate things. Your conscience is your mind, your will, your emotions. It's part of that psuche, if you will. Gosh, I don't want to get into all this, but I want you to understand that. Your psyche, all right? Psychiatrists mess in there, okay? That's where psychiatrists get involved. But we fall short of the Spirit, all right? I'm way off my notes, but I felt I had to explain that. So the Holy Spirit is something that comes and communicates with our mind, will, emotions. Our bodies are not yet redeemed. Therefore, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to pray for people and expect God's results. We're going to witness to people and expect people to get saved. Come on, somebody. And you and I need to live a supernatural life by faith and not by sight. So for the remaining minutes this morning, I want to start to talk a little bit about, if you will, core values, ways that you and I need to think. Because of our challenge that we just pointed out, we live in a flesh and blood body empowered by the Holy Spirit that is showing us the future glory. Is everybody with me? That's what we've established this morning. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And because of that, now we have to transform the way we think so that we can continue to live by faith. Are you with me? So let's look at some things. First, you've got to believe, you and I have got to believe that God always, say always, always causes things to work out for my good. You've got to believe that. You and I, we cannot live by faith if we think, oh, nothing ever works out for me. It's kind of like the Charlie Brown cartoon. Why is everybody always picking? I mean, poor old Charlie Brown. You've seen it. Lucy holds the ball. He goes to kick the football. The ball comes out. Charlie Brown falls. They all go out trick-or-treating on Halloween. Everybody gets candy. What does Charlie Brown get? A bag of rocks. Come on. You know? And so we think that, and people think, if you think that way, you cannot live by faith. I'm just telling you right now. If you leave this place this morning and say, well, I know it all sounded good. Pastor Tony sure was excited, but right there, you just forget. You cannot live this way. All right? And that's your choice. All right? And that's my choice. But Jesus says when he returns, will he really find people living by faith? I want to be one of those. I want to be one of those, all right? And something I can tell you, for the last 23 years, I have seen this work in my life because my life is nothing like it was. And it keeps changing day by day, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And I keep believing God. And sometimes I got a hiccup. And sometimes I got a little challenge. How many know life brings challenges your way? And sometimes I got an opportunity for improvement. Hello, somebody. But I just keep believing God and keep believing God and keep believing God. And I believe that God is good. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You got to believe that. You've got to believe. I don't care what you're going through. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You just got to believe all things are working out for my good because I'm called and Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. You got to believe that. If you don't get this truth and continue to remind yourself, because how many know you can have a bad day sometimes? Come on. You got to remind yourself when you're having a bad day that all things work together for my good because God loves me and I'm called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? That he foreordained works that I should walk in, Matt, that you should walk in. Woo! And so I don't have to live by sight. I can live by faith. And even if I'm having a rotten, cranky day, I can say, okay, Lord, I thank you that you forgive me. And today I can live supernatural because it's something that you have for me and you're going to put good things into my life. Luke 12:32, Jesus said, do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God takes pleasure in empowering us with the kingdom of heaven. Oh, let's think about that for a minute. He takes pleasure in empowering us. Now, some people will say, well, yeah, that's talking about heaven, Pastor. You understand that's just part of it. You don't need faith for heaven. Help, somebody help me out in this place. You don't need faith for heaven. You're there. It's a reality. Faith is for here. It's for here, for now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you get to heaven, it's going to be like, oh, all you're going to be able to do is fall down. You don't need faith for that. Faith is not something we're going to use. It's something we need now because our flesh is contrary. You and I cannot live a supernatural lifestyle if we don't believe that God has greater things for us, greater things than anything we're facing right now. We have got to believe that God is working for our good. We got to believe that God loved us even before we loved him. You got to understand that God's love for you, I'm just calling out everybody this morning. Heather, God loved you before you even answered that call. He loved you, and you could turn around and not even live for him, and he still loves you. Now, I'm not saying you're not living for him. I'm sure you are. But you know, God loves you. If he loved you before you started to serve him, how many know he's not going to say, well, that's it. I'm done with you. That's it. You blew it. Tim, forget about it. I loved you last year, but this year is not your year, man. It's not happening. That is not how God thinks. God loved you before he redeemed you, before he called you by name. He loved you. And these are things, if we don't get these, we can't live by faith because then we think, well, I prayed and they died. Okay, well, listen, we're all going to die someday because our bodies have not been redeemed, but we still need to live this way so that we can proclaim the glorious truth of God's gospel. The gospel is not something we just speak. It's something that we live out. It's something that's experiential that people are supposed to be a witness to flowing through our lives. So we got to believe that God loved us before we loved him, and then we've got to focus on that love. Here, let's read this. It says in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. See, we need to then receive that love and then give that love away to other people. Because God loved us, and if God loved me, come on, somebody, before I served him, and I didn't live for God, okay? Before I got saved, I had friends in high school. I went to high school, right? If everybody remembers the Jesus movement in the 70s, I had friends, you know, all my partying friends, not all of them, but a good number of them got saved. And I knew something happened, because I knew these guys before they said they got saved. I'm like, saved? These guys start, you know, these are the guys you used to hang out with and get high every day at school, okay? All right? I mean, not just high, wasted. And next thing you know, they're coming, they're carrying their Bible to school. I'm like, say, what the heck is that? What happened to you? Let's go smoke a joint, man. No, got the Bible now. I'm like, the Bible? What? And so I saw some of my friends, and you know, after high school, some they just kept serving God, and I just kept partying. And they would invite me to little home groups, and I would go, like, they'd meet in their home, and they'd have someone playing a guitar, and they'd be singing Kumbaya or whatever they sang. And I'd be there, and I'd be, like, fidgeting, and I just went because I don't know why I went. I don't know why I went. They asked me to go, so I thought, okay, it's cool, I'll go. So I'd go. I'd be on my way to the bar because that's all I ever did was hang out in bars. I'd be on my way, and they'd be singing their songs, and they're like, you know, they're singing something like Come, Lord Jesus, or whatever they would sing. I don't know the songs from back then, but they're singing something. And they all got their eyes closed, and there's like 15 of us or so, and I open my eyes, I look around like, some of you do that in church. No, I can't. So. And I'm looking around, and I close my eyes. I'm like, I'm making sure I'm looking out of one eye. And you know what? I was scared to death. Okay. So I'm like, and you know what I was scared? Because I knew something was happening that was real. Perfect for that, yeah. I knew something was real. And I wasn't ready to make commitment because I couldn't. It's kind of like, okay, and they'd have the little Bible study. I'd go, yeah, Jesus. Then I'd eat a brownie and I'd go to the bar. Get me out of there. But I knew something was different with those people. They start singing songs and they start to pray in other tongues. And I'd be like, and you know, the Bible says, and here's the thing, people say, well, we're not going to pray in other tongues in this church because what will people think when they come out? And we'll get to this in our notes. I know I'm pushing the envelope here. I'm not to this part of my notes. This will be in a couple weeks. We'll look at this in detail. People say, well, what will people think if they come in? The Bible says that when you're praying in other tongues and in your services, that the unbeliever comes in, that it is a witness to him that God is in that place, and he falls down and gives his life to Christ. That's what the Bible says, by the way. That's what it says, and we'll get to that. But we say, well, no, I don't know, supernatural, that's, you know, Twilight. No, you and I are supposed to be living supernatural lives. We love because God first loved us. Listen to what it says in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You and I have got to believe that God is working together for good in our lives. We have got to believe that God loved us before we loved him, and then we're supposed to take that love and broadcast it. As we love God, we love other people and spread the gospel. We've also got to realize that fear is not part of God's love. Fear is from the devil. Now, you and I can sense fear and still live by faith. You can sense it, all right? Living by faith is not the absence of fear, all right? But it's realizing that fear is not part of God's love or plan for my life. That I'll sense fear, but now I've got to resist fear and by faith live. It's just like, if it's just as simple as telling somebody about Jesus or praying for somebody. Just last week, I was over here at Sam's shopping. And I'm shopping, and I like to go to the self-checkout because they got self-checkouts there now. And go to the self-checkout. I like to go to self-checkout because it makes me feel like I know what I'm doing. But every time I need somebody's help, but it's all right. And so I go over there, and they say, can you get that? I say, oh, I got this. Beep, meep. And, okay. And then you try to get their help. It's like super embarrassing. You say, no, I don't need your help, but then you need your help. But I go through, and I like to go through there, and I'm just practicing, and I like to beep. I like to scan those things, and I put them in there. And this woman that I've talked to before comes on over, and she's kind of monitoring all those. And I look at her, and we start to talk a little bit, and she starts to tell me how she needs hip surgery. She has her hips, boy, it's just bone on bone, and it's painful. And I'm like, oh, I can imagine. Listen, that day, this body was not feeling too good itself. I could relate, all right? I could relate. And she's just sharing, and she's telling me, I'm listening, I'm talking. I prayed with her about some other things before. And because that's what you do as Christians. You pray for people. You know that, right? You tell people about Jesus, and you pray for them. You lay hands on the sick, and they recover. You pray in other tongues. You live this way, not just for church, all right? And so they know that over there because I pray for people when I go there and other places. And I'm there, and we're talking, and she tells me the whole story. And finally, I just say to her, I said, well, you know what? I checked out. I finished everything, got all my stuff rung up. I said, we need to pray for that, because she's talking about getting a surgery and all that. And I'm like, you know, whatever you got to do to get relief, boy, I understand that. I said, but can we pray? Because I believe God just wants to heal you, and you won't even need that. Oh, yeah, she said. You know, it's amazing. If you never asked anyone if you can pray for them, would you try it? All right? Once you get past that fear, I rarely have ever had someone say no. I remember I've had a couple times where I've offered to buy somebody, like I'm thinking of one time in particular, I was going to buy someone their clothes at JCPenney. Everybody said, like, Pastor Tony, I want to know where you shop. Okay. They're in line, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, buy their clothes. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I really believe God just wants me to buy those clothes for you. He looked at me and said, ah, no. I'm like, okay. But I guarantee you, listen, that was the worst taste. They weren't angry. They weren't belligerent. It was okay. It was all right. I didn't die that day. All right? And even though they didn't let me buy their clothes, what do you think they talked about when they got to the car? Hello. What do you think they said to the next person they met and said, you know what? I bet this guy is going to buy my clothes. What do you think happened the next time that they saw where they could meet a need for somebody else? You think they remembered when I wanted to buy their clothes? One sows, one reaps, God gets the glory. You just do what you're supposed to do. But anyway, so I say to this woman, I say, I'm going to pray for you. And I start to pray for her, and there we are in Sam's, and everybody's shopping and doing their thing, and Holy Spirit and the kingdom of heaven is right there. And we pray, we finish praying, I open my eyes, and she's like, she says, I feel all hot. I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit moving on you. I said, because God is healing you. She says, it's either that or I'm having a hot flash, she says to me. You know? Now, we didn't sing Jesus Reigns. We didn't sing Kumbaya. But I believe that Jesus touched her, and I believe she's healed. All right? Now, I was there yesterday. I was looking for her. I didn't see her. I can't wait till I see her again. And, you know, that's how you and I should be living. But you got to resist that fear, because fear is not part of God's plan for your life. And we need to learn really how to respond to the attack of the enemies, not react to them. Usually we react. We need to know how to respond, and respond out of love and health and a sound mind, and realize what God's word says and say, okay, this is the enemy resisting me, so I'm going to resist him. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. When fear starts to come in and keep you from walking in obedience to the will of God, you need to say, okay, fear is not part of God's plan. Therefore, by faith, I'm going to believe God. I am going to resist the enemy and believe that my resources in the kingdom of heaven are unlimited. 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. You know there's no torment in the kingdom of heaven? No torment. Say, well, I'm tormented in my mind. Let us pray for you. That is not God's will for your life. All right? Fear involves torment. It says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in what? Love. See, love will really just take all the fear out of your life. You'll still sense fear, but you won't live according to it. You won't be afraid to go out and to be a witness, to live by faith and not by sight. Let me just say this. Whatever you're going through right now is bringing you to where God wants you to be. Whatever you're going through right now is bringing you to where God wants you to be. I'm not saying that God brought that bad thing into your life, because that is not true. And we get through these core values, you'll see that bad things are not from God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from him. And in God, there's no shadow. There's no variableness. There's no shadow. There's no turning. God only gives us good things. But whatever it is you're going through is bringing you. And why can you say that? Knowing that, okay, God, you didn't bring this challenge into my life, but because you have nothing but good things to offer me, I'm going to resist this fear. I'm going to resist the way my body feels, because my body is not redeemed. Hello, somebody. This will drive a religious person crazy. Because there are religious institutions all over the place. We get and we do it in the name of Christ, okay? We mean well. But there's so many churches, they get people in and they think, okay, we need a path to put people on. And the path is teaching people how to live good lives. That is not what Jesus said to do. It isn't. Now, living a good life is good. And we should. If we say we're Christians, I mean, no, we should be nice to people, all right? But really, you and I should be allowing the kingdom of heaven to be reproduced in our lives. Therefore, we're not going to walk according to how we feel, how we think, the fear that's coming against us. We're going to let the kingdom of heaven come forth so that we can live and preach the gospel, allowing love to have her work in us as we face our fear. See, because in fear, basically what fear is lack. Fear is lack. Whatever it is, and I believe really there's really only two types of fear. There's fear of God, and there's fear of everything else. All right? So fearing God is believing God that he has more than enough, but when we have fear that's contrary to believing God, trusting God, that's really what fear means when it says fear the Lord, is trusting God. All right? But then the fear that comes from the enemy is really just fear of everything else, and fear really is just saying things are not going to work out. You're not going to have enough. No one will ever love you. You will never get that job. You will never be able to retire. You will never get pregnant. Or you're going to have nothing but trouble with that child. Once they start having problems, that's it. It's all over. Let me tell you, that is not the truth. That is a lie from the enemy. And if you're having a challenge with your children, you believe God that they will get turned around, because the Bible says he will pour his blessing upon your offspring and pour his spirit upon your children. And you believe God for that. Isaiah 44. So how do you know that, Pastor? We prayed that many times. That's how I know that. All right. And God is faithful. So fear is lack, but love is abundance. So we need to resist lack and believe God for abundance. Let's think about it this way. Jesus said that if you seek the kingdom of heaven first, all these things will be added to you. This is how Jesus taught, all right? Because the kingdom of heaven is nothing but abundance. He says, if you seek it first, everything you need, you'll have. But it's really what we're seeking is the problem. And you and I need to be seeking the love and the abundance of God. You cannot, let me just say, this sounds so simple, but it really isn't. Think about this. You cannot get where you're going by staying where you are. You can't get where you're going by staying where you are. And what do I mean by that is you and I have got to change at some point and allow God to start to work in us. Think about this. Whatever trial you're going through, whatever challenge you're going through right now, and maybe you're not going through one, well, then prepare for the next one because it's coming. All right? I'm not going to lie to you. All right? But you are more than a conqueror. You can overcome whatever challenge you face. Right? They'll come. But whatever it is, if you're going through a challenge right now, think about this. And you know, if you've ever believed God for anything, you know this is true. Every time that you've had a breakthrough of some kind, every time that God has blessed you, it has come after a trial. Think about it. Every time that you've received a blessing from God, it has come after you've gone, oh my gosh, this is killing me. How many know what I'm talking about? And then you receive, it's just like this. It says in Psalm 40, it says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. James tells us to let patience have her perfect work so that we can be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. See, whatever you're going through, you can say, okay, God, I'm sweating bullets right now, but I know that on the other side of this trial, there's abundance coming, because fear is not from you, but love is from you, and fear has lack, but love has abundance, and I know that you love me, and you loved me before I even loved you, and all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. And you live out of that, saying, I know my body's not redeemed yet, or I wouldn't be sweating bullets. But I know, because you're sending that redemption, you've given me the Holy Spirit. He's the guarantee of what's coming. I can live this way, and I can walk by faith and not by sight. And you start to live differently, and you go to Sam's and you pray for somebody. That's how you live. Oh, my goodness. That's how you live. That's what Jesus taught. This is what he showed us. You got to believe that God has nothing but welfare, never calamity. Doesn't mean you may not be going through a trial. We just said that. But God has nothing but good things. Listen to what it says. Some of you know this, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I put verse 12 in there because I want to say something. I'm going to read them again. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. You need to meditate on that today. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Abundance and not lack. Are you with me? All right. To give you a future and a hope. Remember, it said that we're getting that redemption and we hope for it now, but we live as if we have it because Holy Spirit has been given to us for a guarantee. Are you with me? This is all kind of adding up. But listen, it says a future and hope. Then you'll call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, whatever you pray for, you'll have. Until you and I realize that God has thoughts of peace and hope, we can't even pray and get our prayers answered. He says, then you'll pray to me and I'll hear you. Because the only way you get your prayers answered, it tells us in 1 John 5:14, I think it is. It tells us that when we pray according to his will, we know we have those things that we've petitioned for. You cannot pray and have your, listen carefully, you can't pray and have your prayers answered until you realize the thoughts that God has for you are not evil but of good. And so that's where faith comes into play, is you start to believe that God is working in me to will and to do his good pleasure. You cannot live a supernatural life until you and I realize that only good things are coming our way. And I'm going to have to stop there because we're out of time. But listen, living the supernatural life is something that should be supernatural as we live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God today. I thank you, Lord God, that you are working in us to will and do your good pleasure. That today, Father, the word of God has gone down deep and taken hold, and there's good seed sown and good roots have been watered, and there's fruit abounding. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you today. We're not asking you to join this church. We're not asking you if you've ever even been to church. We're just asking you if you know that you're born again. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. And so if you're here this morning and you want to know that you're saved, if you want to know that you're on your way to heaven, we want to pray with you. So if you're sitting here today and you have doubt, you don't know where you'd spend eternity, if you have any fear, any doubt whatsoever, that's not from God, and we want to pray with you today. Say, Pastor, pray with me. If that's you today, on the count of three, I want to see your hand because I want to give you some information that will help you understand what the Bible says about this topic. On the count of three, say, Pastor, pray with me. One, two, three. Say, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm born again. Everybody here is saved on their way to heaven? All right. Well, now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a first-time guest with us, we have something we call a welcome.